Thank you. Please, it's public hearing.
Orlando, 12309 West McShane Road. I heard you say earlier the reason this happens is because we live in the United States of America. In the United States of America, majority rules. I see two guys. One guy doesn't even live in Franklin, and I see the whole neighborhood here. So this is your majority, and yet he's going to rule. And then the 28 new houses, my new neighbors that don't, I don't even know who they are because I don't know where they're from. If you cut it in half to 14, he's still making his millions, and we still have the neighborhood we want. And you still get your taxes. And how many people here want a Starbucks? We have one in Muskego. We have one in Hales Corners. That's the plan. I don't understand the logic here. You have a beautiful neighborhood. We love it there because of the size of the lots. And if you make it 14 lots, that's still a lot of people, but they're going to love it because they're going to have bigger lots. And the developer's going to make his money, and the city's going to make their taxes. And you're going to have kids going to school. It's win-win that way. This way, it's win-lose.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Nobody else stands up right now. He's the last guy. No, sir.
My name is Dan Burrow, 12312 West McShane. I just wanted to speak real quick because, so I had an opportunity, and I appreciate all the comments and everything I've heard tonight. I've only lived here on this street for 6 or 7 months, and a tiny little 1 acre lot. And I wasn't going to say anything until I heard people talking about values and home values, and I think that means different things to other people. Certainly more to some than others in this room. And I can tell you, like, the values that we see in our community, the reason I moved here from a cookie-cutter, keeping up with the Joneses area in Scottsdale, Arizona, to why I chose to live on McShane. And there's a reason for that, and that was the value that this community brings to my life and my family's life. So I appreciate you keeping that in mind when we consider how many people are going to cram onto those 18 acres. Thank you.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
Thank you.
You guys, don't be bashful.
Hello, my name is Tammy Raymond, 12343 West McShane Road. We bought our house and moved in the end of June 1985. It wasn't the house that sold us on the lot that we bought. It was the yard. It was peace and quiet. It is the wildlife and the fact that we could bring our kids up in what is like a country setting. You're 5 minutes from two expressways that can get you anywhere you want to go, but you're still feeling like you're in a country. Both my kids have gone to Country Hill School, and I now have a grandson that's done that. During the time our kids went to Country Hill, they were moved back and forth between Forest Park and Country Hill because of the overcrowding in classrooms. First it went to fourth grade, then it went to fifth grade, then sixth grade was back. So they've kind of changed it back and forth right now. When my kids went to school, they probably had 26, 28 kids in a classroom. My grandson just came out of fifth grade. They've got 34 to 36 kids in classrooms right now. So now you're bringing in more people, more traffic, which is going to destroy the quietness and the country feel of our neighborhood. People that are on the side of McShane, which if that's where your road's coming through, somebody's going to get shoved out if that happens. They're losing the serenity of their backyards because now their backyards are going to abut this new subdivision with, again, like the one gentleman mentioned, people we don't know and what kind of people are going to be attracted to that area. It destroys the serenity and the peace that everybody in this neighborhood moved out to this area for. And I'm totally against it.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay.
Scott Charl, 7700 South Gabriel Franklin. Definitely opposed on this whole restructuring. And, we can't already handle the traffic since McShane, they built those new subdivisions up there and increased traffic just from that. And then the Country Dale School, now you're moving that other school. It's like an expressway over there. It's bad. It's, you know, just going to get worse. And I think it all boils down to the developer wants to shove as many spots in there as he can. It's all about making money. And when you get that, you go to any house on our block, around that whole place, nobody wants this. You know, there are elected officials. Help us.
Okay, thank you. No.
Just got one quick comment.
No.
You've had three kicks of the cat already, so thanks, let's not. Anyone else who has not spoken? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close this public hearing. Okay. Desire of the council. Comments from the commission. Mr. City Engineer.
The alderman of the district, John Nelson, gave me a call early in the week. He knew he cannot be here tonight. He's got a prior commitment that he couldn't get out of. But he did want me to illustrate for the record that a lot of rumors regarding quarter-acre lots point out that there is half-acre lot minimum. When you look at 18.35 acres total, 25 lots, that's about three-quarters of an acre per lot, not including the right-of-way. So as you look at the proposal that they're proposing, the minimum is a half acre. So I think that was mentioned earlier, but John wanted to make sure I stressed that. Also, he wanted me to talk about the minimum square footage for a ranch house is 2,100 square feet, I believe was what was mentioned tonight. And have we heard a minimum square footage for two-story? He seemed to have heard it's 2,200 or 2,300 square feet.
Mr. Deedle?
For this development,
I don't know what they're proposing.
Okay,
but our zoning district does have a minimum. It'll
okay,
take me a couple minutes to find it though.
Okay, but the minimum is 2,100 square feet. So these are large houses for a ranch. So it's what's being proposed. You also wanted to illustrate the fact that, and it was discussed here, but just to reiterate, the developers looking to pay for water from Forest Home, and as proposed, no one would be required to hook up to that water. Therefore, it would go past your property at no expense to you unless you decide to connect to it. As far as Country Dale School, I guess I'll throw my two cents in here. That's just kind of a cluster. I mean, the way that they allow people to come in and around the parents to drop kids off, I don't know what could fix that. I've looked at that almost since I've been here, and I'm not sure what to do with that. It's because of the school. And I've heard the new school being discussed several times tonight from Muskego. I can tell you that our staff tried to oppose that best we could, but because they're actually in Muskego, we were not able to stop it. Having said that, they submitted a traffic impact analysis. I had sewer pack. I've had the county both review it. On our side, the road's got a lot of capacity. They're adding a lot more traffic than this development will, and they're not even coming close to what's considered capacity. So I couldn't fight on those regards. For the new school, I was able to successfully get a bypass lane, even though it's technically not warranted because of the proximity to Forest Home. I'm having them put in a bypass lane, so you shouldn't have to wait for traffic as you're heading north. So the Muskego school also won't be like Country Dale in the fact that there is a place for parents to actually get off the road and have a parking lot. So you won't have everyone trying to stay on the road to wait in line to get kids. So for what it's worth, the new school won't be a congestion like the existing school.
Just so everybody knows, the queuing problem at Country Dale is the queuing problem at Ben Franklin, is the queuing problem at Forest Park Middle School, is the queuing problem at Southwood Glen, et cetera, et cetera. You can't, it's the nature of the way we transport our kids to schools. Mr. Leon, Commissioner Leon.
Two questions for the applicant or his representative, whomever he prefers. If we accept the premise, and I think it's safe to accept the premise, that demand exists
Rick,
for...
grab the mic.
Demand exists for additional residential properties, and then also the premise that that increases tax revenues to the city, which is relatively obvious. Excluding the fact that there's a big piece of land that the property owner is willing to work with you on this proposal, why here? Why in these people's neighborhood? Why? What is the draw to this area other than it's a big open piece of land and there's demand in the area?
First of all, I just think it's a unique piece, number one. It's just a nice pocket.
I don't think there's a mic. Your mic is off.
Bottom.
Apologize for this. This is,
can you hear me now?
No.
No.
Can you hear me now? She dropped it.
Can we switch microphones? Joel's bringing you on.
You do have to speak up for this one, too.
I just think that it's a unique piece, a very, very attractive piece. And I just, developing for the last 30-some years, I truly believe that I could create just a very, very nice neighborhood within the confines of that particular property. Not only with that, I just believe that I can enhance the area. And obviously the benefit not only is the tax base, but then bringing the water to the particular area. But I can just foresee some very, very nice homes and a nice neighborhood to be created.
There's demand.
Plus with all the demand that the city of Franklin is experiencing right now.
And when we talked about demand specifically for this corner, I mean, it's relatively removed from some of the other areas. You know, I understand it's closer to Muskego where there's some growth going on. But, you know, getting back to the original question, is there demand in these people's neighborhood for additional residential?
There's demand that is going to heading southwest. Actually, right down the street, we actually developed in Muskego. We did the Boxhorn Reserve subdivision right off of Boxhorn Drive. So we created that particular one. We did not do the extension of Astor Hills to that, but we did the original one. And there was a great demand other than the slow times, the recessions, so forth. But as soon as that was over, it sold out in a matter of months. So I truly believe that there is a tremendous demand for nice homes, nice quality homes, too.
All right, thank you for that. Second question, and it goes to what Mr. Hansen discussed earlier when he asked the question, why cannot this stay in R2? Understanding, again, that the property owner is willing to work with you on the property and that it's your right to request it to go from an R2 to an R3 to bring in... 3/4-acre lots, approximately, based on the number of homes. Can you explain to us why this isn't too much, too fast? I did hear some proposals from, I believe, Tony, who said that they would be willing to work with you on something, to basically table it, to work with you on something that is maybe not as much, not as fast. Can you explain to us why, from your perspective, it either isn't too much, too fast, or is there a little bit of room to work with residents?
That's really a twofold answer. First of all, a subdivision in the approximate lot count of 25 makes a nice self-contained neighborhood. If you get too much smaller than that, they really aren't a self-contained neighborhood. You get too much bigger than that, and you really want to phase them, and they become much larger communities that take a lot longer to bring to market. So 25 is really the ideal number of lots to bring online at a time, single time here in southeast Wisconsin. That's been the case for the last couple of years, and if you look at communities that are seeing large growth of subdivisions, generally skipping around Franklin, it's because they're bringing online 20 to 30 lot subdivisions at a time, and they're usually bringing them on every 2 years to 2 to 3 years for a developer to sell through the lots and bring the next phase online. This is an isolated site. It's a great part of the city that has a lot of rural character, and the intent was, again, to maintain those larger lots. The density here is, as you said, on average about a 3/4 acre gross density. Those are some of the largest lots in the city of Franklin. It's consistent with what's around it. It is a fact, though, that there are some deep, narrow lots that surround this parcel, and that won't change over time. It also isn't going to change over time that you're going to see others try to come in and make the density work. You need the density to be able to afford these developments. There's a burden of bringing water main to this development, and it takes lot count to be able to make that work.
Thank you both.
No, sir.
Could I speak on behalf of the seller? I get to answer one main question. He just answered the question.
What is your name, sir?
It's Tom Rademacher with Remax Realtors, so I try to talk to a few of these people.
Is that appropriate?
I would have the same question for him. My first question would be to the seller.
Motion
as well.
To suspend.
So moved.
Seconded.
Discussion of motion to suspend. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, Mr. Rademacher, please. So, your name and address, please.
Tom Rademacher. I live in West Dallas. I'm the Remax Realtors. I've had the property for sale for a year. Wasn't involved when O'Malley...
Mr. Rademacher.
...tried to...
Talk to us.
Okay. Wasn't involved when Mr. O'Malley tried to rezone it. But what I've been dealing with for the last year is people coming up with proposals, and I'd say, well, talk to the city. They come through with proposals that are just totally unacceptable. And so... The main question is, why go from R2 to R3? As an agent, what I've discovered over the last year is, it's just what Craig mentioned, is it's undevelopable at R2, because if you take the R2 zoning, it's about 200 feet of frontage for a developer to come in and bring water all the way from Forest Home up and pay for 100% of it, and then bring it down 200 feet of frontage for sewer and water. It's just, I can't find anybody. You have a lot that's undevelopable. That's basically it. Seller's been trying to sell it for, gosh, I don't know how many years before O'Malley got involved. Tried to sell it in between. They talked to me over a year ago. So from the seller's perspective, my perspective, that's what I've learned. I can't find somebody to develop it for what it's zoned. That's the bottom line. So where do you go from there? Developer comes in, makes a proposal that makes sense economically.
Commissioner Leon.
Anything more? I don't want to cut
off. Yeah, that's it. So,
Thank you for that. Just and this isn't a question now. It's just a statement. I have had coworkers of mine who have asked about this type of development, not necessarily in your area, but this type of subdivision in Franklin, and there, it does seem very legitimate what the gentleman from Remax and the applicant is proposing, that there is that genuine demand for subdivisions, new subdivisions like that, because we don't, as listed, we don't have very many properties like this in the city now. That's all I have. Thank you.
Is there a motion to return to regular business?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Additional questions from the commission. Mr. Commissioner Haley.
Thank you, sir. I guess I'm going to start by saying I was here 10 years ago on this commission when the previous proposal came through. This isn't a world of difference. I want to thank you all for coming here because many of the same faces were here with the exact same concerns. 10 years later, they haven't been addressed. Now, that's nobody's fault. The previous developer didn't find it financially doable, moved on. You're here with what are legitimate concerns. I have other legitimate concerns that haven't been touched on here. I can't support this because the problem is that we're asking for a rezone without knowing what the package is. We've got a sketch that shows it could look like this. There are so many unknowns. The problem is, when we rezone it, it stays rezoned. Somebody else, it's not going to revert back if you find it's not viable. My concern is I think once you actually get into this site and start looking at the realities of it, you're going to find it's not as viable as it is. You probably can't get that many lots in there. You've got terrible soils. You've got issues with natural resources. We can't say that that's not true. They're there. It appears as if you've got a significant problem with property owners that aren't prepared to give you drainage easements or right-of-way dedications. So there's all of these questions that haven't been answered. I have no problem with supporting this. I was part of the team when we redid our comprehensive master plan, looked at this area. It was good to leave it as R2. That was a good, consistent use with it. What you're proposing isn't wrong. We just don't know. You're asking us to make a decision now that says, let us go and speculate or research this further and see what we come back with. Well, if you do that and you find out that, gee, you can really only get 15 lots because of bad soils, drainage, all of these other issues, then it dies. And Franklin sits there, the property owner sits there with something that's been manipulated. I could support this at the right level. I think I heard a lot of neighbors saying they're willing to work with you. But at this point in time, with nothing more than a potential sketch of where lots could be, I'm not at all comfortable on supporting this. Do your homework, come back, talk to the neighbors, work out the real estate. We've got issues, you know, the natural resource information. I've gone through it. I've looked at the site. It's dated. It's not accurate. We now have restrictions from Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission that requires the city to come up with a plan or to force a plan to protect the secondary environmental corridor. See, there's been no talk about any of those things. And my concern is that people just haven't dug deep enough to find this out. So do your homework. Come back with a real plan, show us what the plan is, and then ask for the rezoning. This is just premature at this point. So the commissioners can do what they want. The council has the final word on it. But for these reasons, I cannot support a rezone at this point in time.
Yes. Alderman. Alderman Dandrea.
Well, we've had many proposals from Mr. Prusvilla in the past, and he is a reputable builder. But I also hear your comments. There is going to be some development in this area eventually. It is not going to stay the way that it is. Now we've got to decide on the character and the reputation that the individual that is coming in front of us today versus what has happened 10 years ago. We know that there has to be many conditions met before we move forward. What I hear Mr. Haley saying is instead of denying this project, we would like you to go back and really have a serious meeting with the aldermen as well as members or representatives, not all of you, but have some key spokespeople together that you can work together to come up with a practical solution for this lot. I understand the density issue that Mr. Prusvilla is put against. You need so many units, so many lots to cover the cost. If you don't do that, you don't have a project. You don't build something to lose money at doing it. But we've given him the connotation that he's going to make it rich. No, he's just making a living out there. And so I would like the city attorney to pose a draft of a motion that we would postpone this or defer it and give the applicant time to meet with the aldermen of the area as well as representatives of the community in the neighborhood to come up with a solution in this for the subdivision.
First or the 17th?
August 1st or 17th? Or late.
Okay, thanks, Mark.
Third.
Alderman Hogan? No?
Nope.
Sense of the commission, is there a motion to table this matter to the...
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I want to do something.
Alderman Hogan, or Commissioner Hogan.
I just wanted to state that I think the two biggest issues that the people have is the traffic. I think we also need to talk with the police station or get the police department involved with why hasn't there been, I don't see a traffic study in this. Also with the schools. I know one is in Muskego. We do not have anything to do with that, but evidently it's a big impact. So I agree with my other committee members that we need to go back and look at this and come back. Thank you.
Okay. Is there a motion to postpone action on this item to the meeting of August 17th?
So moved.
Second.
Rick? Okay. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And Ms. Hogan.
Hogan.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Can you restate the date again, please? You said 17th.
17th. Where did you tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree or what? All those in favor? Motion to adjourn?
Yep.
Aye.
Aye.
Let's do it again. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.